Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Now let's read these and keep in mind this thought, which is Scripture. The just shall live by faith. Because in this passage of Scripture, Paul is showing us the difference between living by faith and living by the law. And there is a huge difference. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, let's read. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now there's a great series of verses here. These eight verses together are a tremendous testimony between the works religion and a religion or a salvation which is of faith. And I remember years ago when we had a friend of mine come down to preach to some friends of mine. We got a group of folks together that had read a book and had some questions about it, and the author came in and was dealing with them and answering questions regarding the book, and all of these had to do with the Bible. And the second to the last question that was asked had to do with this. What is the difference between my religion, this fellow asked this, and presumably was a lost man, practicing his religion faithfully. He said, what is the difference between my religion and what you are saying about what the Bible says concerning salvation? And I'll never forget this. The preacher said very simply, as he began to answer the question, yours is a religion of do, and mine is a religion of done. Religion is do, and salvation is done. That was a great, great simple way of putting the difference between living by the law, which is religion, which is do, and living by faith, which is salvation, which is done. Yours is a religion of do, mine is a salvation of done. Now, keeping that in mind, let's look at these verses here, beginning with verse 7, and let's say this. First of all, when you live by faith, you become a child of Abraham. When you live by faith, you first of all become a child of Abraham. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You see, the promises were given to Abraham concerning the multiplied seed, as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore, as the dust of the earth. The promise was given to Abraham that he would have a son, which was a miraculous birth, the birth of Isaac. The promise was given to Abraham that he would be heir of the world. The promise was given to Abraham, therefore, that he would come into possession of the land. So these are tremendous promises. And from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob came, the 12 tribes, and also came Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So it'd be important then to be a child of Abraham because he was the one to whom the promises were given, the promises that we are interested in. For Abraham to be able to have this possession and for Abraham to go out and look for a city whose builder and maker is God, a city that he did not find in his lifetime, indicates that he knew by faith that he would live forever, and of course he does. Jesus Christ, in dealing with the Sadducees, asked them this question. He said, and in that you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, he said, have you never heard what the scripture saith? I am not, the God is not the God of the dead, but God is the God of the living, because he says, I am the father of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, showing that those three were still alive. Abraham would believe that. So there was a promise of God given to Abraham about his life going on forever for him to be able to enjoy that kingdom of possessing land and so forth that was promised to him. So all those things concern us. Look in Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. And you'll notice in this study of the book of Galatians, there's an awful lot of cross-referencing between the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now what you just read there is this. Abraham does not receive the sign of circumcision until Genesis chapter 17, but he is given the promise that he, based upon his faith. His faith is counted for righteousness before Genesis chapter 17. Consequently, he becomes saved by faith, or receives his righteousness by faith in Genesis chapter 15 before he's ever circumcised. In other words, this big deal about circumcision is kind of a moot point when you consider that a Gentile who is not circumcised could also receive his salvation by faith and not have any circumcision, just the same way that Abraham did. So Abraham, therefore, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 11, becomes the father of all them that believe. So when you live by faith, you're a child of Abraham who received his righteousness by faith before he was ever circumcised. Again, in Romans chapter 4, look at verses 16 and 17. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of whom? Us all. He's the father of all them that believe. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So, when you get saved, you come into your righteousness in the same way that Abraham did, by faith, that is, and therefore you become a child of Abraham and are entitled to an inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom that has been promised to Abraham. All right, that's the first thing. Then the second thing, when you live by faith, you are justified with Abraham. Again, look in verse 8 of our text, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So you're justified with Abraham. Now notice again back in Romans chapter 4, the chapter that we're going to refer to quite a bit during this lesson today. And look at verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now watch it, verse 5, very carefully. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So, you see, the thing about justification is, you and I, when we consider wanting to be justified, want to know what the rules are, and then we want to keep the rule. And that's how you're justified. That way, if somebody says, hey, you know, they try to condemn you, hey, you're out of line here, say no. Rule number 3, subsection 2, part A says that if I'm on this side of the line, at this particular time, in this particular place, I'm not out of bounds, I'm in bounds. And then you justify yourself by the law. You see that? All right, here's a good example. The law says, thou shalt not steal. All right, I go up, knock on a guy's door, and I say, I want to talk to you about the Lord. I'm interested in your soul. I want to know if you're saved. And the guy says, well, I've never stolen anything. And you know why he says that? Because he's trying to justify himself. And how is he doing that? He is pointing to a law on the books. He knows it's there from Exodus chapter 20. And since he thinks he hasn't stolen anything, he wants me to know that he is justified according to the law. But the Bible shows you in Romans chapter 4 and in Galatians chapter 2 and in Galatians chapter 3, you can't be justified by the law. And the reason is, and we'll see it in just a minute, the law is too tight and there's no man on the face of this earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ who has ever kept every piece of the law. And according to what we're going to see in this lesson, if you don't keep it all, then you're cursed by the very law that you use to justify yourself. In other words, if you're not justified by faith, you're not justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, then, according to the Bible, it is possible for you and I to be justified now as if we've already gone through our judgment, and in that justification know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have passed the judgment of God on sin, and that we are going to enjoy eternal life with Him now and in the life to come. That is real justification, and it comes by faith, believing that what Christ did for you on Calvary was sufficient to cover all of your sins, past, present, and future, and also by His resurrection was sufficient enough to get you out of the grave and your soul into heaven. So that's justification, and it comes by faith. And when you live by faith, you are justified with Abraham. Now, I want you to see something very interesting here in verse 8 of our text in Galatians chapter 3. The Bible says, the Scripture foreseeing. Isn't that interesting? Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. What happened? The Scripture preached. Now, notice, the Scripture doesn't foresee. I mean, you can see something. And the Scripture doesn't preach in the sense of like a man standing up and proclaiming like I'm doing now. However, God imputes to Scripture something of Himself, some deity, attributing then to this book that I have on the desk right here while I'm preaching to you, the ability to foresee some things that God has planned, and has attributed to this book the ability to preach some things that I'm preaching to you. So this book has some life, some characteristic of a living being. See another example of this in Romans chapter 9, verse 17 concerning Pharaoh. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. The Bible says, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. So the Scripture talks, the Scripture preaches, the Scripture foresees some things. That's very interesting. People want to believe that they can come to a Bible like this King James Bible and retranslate it into a modern language. Well, it's already modern enough. You speak more like a King James Bible than you do like an NIV any day of the week. You don't know that because you haven't sat down and made the comparison, but you ought to do that sometime. There are over 1,600 common expressions contained in the King James Bible, many of which have been removed in an NIV so that you don't have a common book. You have a scholar's book reduced in English language down to a reading level, but it has taken the life out of the book. An NIV doesn't foresee. An NIV doesn't preach. An NIV doesn't say, but a King James Bible does. Because it has the voice of the Holy Spirit in it, given by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathes on this book while it's being preached. God breathes on this book while it is being taught. God breathes on this book while you are reading it and gives you an understanding in the things that you are reading by inspiration. There is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. So this book is alive. You don't. That's why we keep saying don't mess with it. Simply believe it. If you don't understand it, wait till God, through His Holy Spirit, gives you a revelation of it so that you can understand it. And in the meantime, all He asked you to do was to believe it. To believe it is to trust it. The faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Just simply believing what you read. Then He says here, the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Well, you don't see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion preached that way to Abraham. But what you do see is that Abraham understood eternal life by resurrection, and he understood eternal life by substitution from the things that happened to him in the Old Testament, particularly in Genesis chapter 22. And we won't take a long time to study this, but in Genesis chapter 22, he is told to sacrifice Isaac. Remember that? Now, when he gets up there to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac, a very strange thing happens. He takes Isaac up there, and Isaac says, "Hey, I see the fire, I see the wood, we know we're going to go have an altar here and everything, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abram says in Genesis 22:8, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb," showing that the provision of God himself, Jesus Christ, would be the Lamb of God. Now, a ram was caught in the thicket, showing a substitution for Isaac's death. And when Abraham left to go up to Mount Moriah, he left two of his young servants in verse 3 with the ass there waiting for their return. He believed that God would raise up seed to him through Isaac, and therefore he believed that if he did sacrifice Isaac, God would in fact raise up Isaac and fulfill that promise. So he believed in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ in type, and he believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in type. It wasn't that the death, burial, and resurrection was being preached as you have it preached today, but he could see it in type. And Jesus Christ refers to Abraham rejoicing to see Jesus' day in John chapter 8, verse 56, and in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, he refers to the faith of Abraham receiving Isaac in a figure as having been raised up from the dead. And there is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is what you're seeing. And so the gospel in that sense was preached to Abraham by the scripture. And the way that Abraham could believe it would concern more than just his family. In verse 8, he says, "In thee shall all nations be blessed, showing that it was going to spread beyond the natural Jews, to include Gentiles. Now, the third thing that happens when you live by faith, first of all, you become a child of Abraham, and secondly, you are justified with Abraham. Thirdly, you're blessed with Abraham. What's the blessing? Back to Romans chapter 4. Might as well just put a bookmark there. We have to go to it so much today. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, "The promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So, Abraham became the heir of the world. Now, did you know something? You, as a child of God, if you're saved, are also an heir in this world, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise was given to Abraham, and you join in it. You join in it. That comes by faith. Now, those are three things then that happen if you live by faith. You become a child of Abraham, you are justified with Abraham, you are blessed with Abraham. Now, when you live by the law, something else happens. When you live by the law, first of all, you put yourself under a curse. Look at verse 10 of our text in Galatians chapter 3. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That's Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. So you put yourself under a curse. You know, when you knock on the door and a person comes to the door and says, "Yes, I've never committed adultery, I've never killed anybody, I've never stolen anything," what they're trying to do is justify themselves by the law. But how come they didn't give the first commandment? Jesus Christ told you what it was. It's kind of a summary of some things in there. It's quoted in Deuteronomy, but the Lord Jesus Christ says the first commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all," not a part, not most of, "but all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, if you've ever had a grudge against your neighbor, putting the second one down there, or if you have ever had any part of your heart in love with anything other totally than the Lord Jesus Christ, you've broken the first commandment. Why didn't they never say that? The reason is everybody's broken that. They don't try to justify themselves with one they've broken because they can't be justified by one they've broken. And the curse is not for keeping all of the law, but one. This verse here says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So, you put yourself under a curse. You can't be justified then. Romans 4:15 says, because the law worketh wrath. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth, you're not going to get by this, every mouth may be stopped in all the world. You're in the world, aren't you? Then you're a part of this all. All the world may become guilty before God. Now you cannot possibly then look to the law and hope to get out from underneath the curse. You have got to put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, or you are cursed by definition of the Bible and not by the definition of this preacher. Secondly, if you choose to live by the law, you cannot be justified. It is impossible. And the reason is there is at least one part of the law that puts you back under the curse. And if that's the case, then you may point out the ones areas of the law that you've kept, but you cannot, absolutely not, survive the process of judgment over justification by trying to justify yourself by the law. You'll be guilty of something. Take a quarterback. He goes back. Everything on the line is right. Nobody got offsides. Nobody's holding. He gets in the pocket. Everything's fine. He throws a pass. There's no pass interference. Everything legal, 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 legal. Everything done in time. No delay of game. Nothing. The guy catches the pass and steps just a little bit of his toe out of bounds. Well, then, guess what? The whole play, having worked perfectly, timing perfectly, everything legal, no holding, no offsides, no illegal procedures, everything fine, no pass interference, everything fine. The fact that 3 inches of his foot was stepping outside of bounds nullifies the whole play. You say, but you don't understand. Everything else was perfect. It doesn't make any difference. Break that piece and the whole play goes back. It's an incomplete pass. Isn't that amazing? And people know that about football, and yet you try to use that about the law and say, well, no, God grades on a curve. I've kept 99.9% of it. It's that 1.1% that you didn't keep that's going to be the cause of you not being justified by the law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That includes you. Romans 3:20 is much like that. All right, so if you choose to live by the law, number one, you put yourself under a curse. Number two, you cannot be justified. And number three, you can't live by faith. Oh, this is a difficult situation then. If you think you're living by faith in most of it, but you're trying to keep the law for the rest of it, you're not living by faith in the first part of it. You see, because those things are mutually exclusive. Mutually exclusive, what is that? Take one ring and draw it on a paper on the left side. Take another ring, draw it on the paper of the right side. And notice those two rings don't intersect. They're mutually exclusive. Faith is one thing, the law is another. If you choose to live by the law, you cannot live by faith. Impossible. Reason being, faith is believing that something has already taken place that satisfied God's judgment for your salvation, and the law admits that your justification is not complete and that you have to keep these things in order to be able to stand before God at a judgment and pass that judgment. Faith believes that your salvation is done in Jesus Christ. The law believes you've got to do something in order to be saved. Now, human nature dictates that most of you want to try to do something in order to be saved so you can have a hand in your salvation. That is not possible. No way. If you go back and read Romans chapter 10, verses 3 to 10, Romans chapter 10, verses 3 to 10, you'll find out that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But you're ignorant of God's righteousness when you try to establish your own righteousness, and therefore you are not submitted to the righteousness of God. And the righteousness that you want comes by faith if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then you're saved. That's how you're saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, what's the deal then? Why is it that if, when you try to live by the law, that is, you're trying to keep the religion that you practice without putting your total faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, and you put yourself under a curse, you can't be justified, you can't live by faith. Why is that so? Because Christ has already redeemed us from the curse. Look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. All right, he took the curse. Now, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, when he did that, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin, but he got it then. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the trick is to get into Christ, and then you'll have Christ's righteousness, and you do that by faith. So when Jesus Christ was on the earth in John chapter 3, he really dealt with this, and he says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God abideth on him. Why? Because you're under the curse of the law, and the law worketh wrath. You can't have it both ways. You're either going to live by faith and therefore be justified, and therefore become a child of Abraham, and therefore be blessed with Abraham, or are you going to try to live by the law and put yourself under a curse, refuse to be justified, and refuse to live by faith? All right, so what's the conclusion? The conclusion is, come to Christ by faith and receive the Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, right? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. So, in conclusion then, if you want the Spirit of God and you want to be saved, then you are going to have to trust that Christ already took care of everything you need at Calvary, and you simply need to put your faith in His finished work. If you want to go to hell, refuse that and try any religion that you can think of on the face of this earth to try to get yourself justified before God, and then you'll clearly wind up in hell. And we don't want you to do that. That's why we preach to you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.